Join us as we examine how offense and complaint can creep into our hearts, even in the midst of obedience. This message challenges us to let go of entitlement, embrace God's heart for others, and rise above a spirit of offense. Let's learn from Jonah's struggle so we don't repeat it.
Let's open up in prayer and get started. Father, I love you and we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here in this place. I thank you that you are a great big God that is over all things. God, you see all things, you know all things. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth, and our life is in your hands. God, we've listed each one of these and many that we didn't even list by name, but God, you see them. We just pray that you would continue to pour out your spirit upon them. Lord, I speak health and strength and life in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over each one, and I declare a dome of protection that you have said and you have promised, God, over us as your church, over us as your people. You are our shepherd, and we are your flock, and you watch over us. And for that, God, our hearts are grateful. Lord, we're here tonight, and we're here to see what it is you have planned. For Lord, many are the plans of a man's heart, but your purpose prevails. And tonight, we just submit ourselves unto you and ask that your purpose, God, prevail in this house, in each of us individually. God, would you speak that message which will transform us to the next place, to teach us to pray like we've never prayed before, to teach us to walk in a faith believing, no matter what my body says to me, I know that you alone are my healer, and you've already done the work, and I will walk in health and strength and healing in the name of Jesus Christ. God, you're good and you're faithful. Lord, you have set a seal upon my heart, and you are a firm foundation in me. I trust you, and I say you are faithful in all things. So, Lord, tonight, would you touch my mouth and give me the words to speak? Would it be your message, God? That we not just give you a yes, but God, when we go, when we speak, when we say yes to you, we only speak your words. We only be your hands and your feet. So God, ahead of time, we thank you for the breakthrough that's coming. I thank you that, Lord, today, two times you have told us the wind of the Spirit is blowing. And Lord, we don't want to miss you in any way, in any place where you are. We want to be with you. We don't just want to be about you. We want to be with you. May all that we say and do give you glory tonight. God, I pray over our kids in this building tonight. I pray that you would just move in their hearts and minds, God. Would you draw them unto you? May they know you. May they know you, Lord, and walk with you all the days of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Stuff. Way here. All right. So we are going to go in the book of Jonah tonight. Jonah is very familiar to all of us. As I began to pray this morning and I got in it, I don't know why. I tend to like the stories that, you know, when we think of the story of Jonah, we think of it as a children's story. And because we've made it such a big story, a children's story of Jonah and the whale, Jonah and the big fish, we've missed some of the points that are in it to us as adults, where we are right now, to us as a church. And so I want us to look at that. So let's turn in your Bibles to Jonah, and it's just four short chapters, but we're going to start in chapter one. It says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked the people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction. I don't know if any of you have ever gone the opposite direction, but I know I have. To get away from the Lord, he went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their God, to their gods for help, and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. "How can you sleep at a time like this?" he shouted. "Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. "Why has this awful storm come down on us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? And what country are you from? What is your nationality?" Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the land." The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. "Oh, why did you do it?" they groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, "What should we do to stop the storm?" "Throw me into the sea," Jonah said, "and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land. But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. "O Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death. O Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Then the sailors picked up Jonah and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord arranged for the great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. We'll read some more verses here in 2-4 in just a few minutes. You know, I got to thinking there's four short verses in the Bible about Jonah's life. And I'm sure there were many more details that we don't know about and that we don't see. But I just wondered, if this were four short chapters in the Bible about Kathy's life, what would it say? What part of my life and my walk and journey with the Lord would he highlight to use to teach others? I love that the Word of God doesn't just smooth over and make everything look like a cherry on top and it's just perfect. I don't know about you, but it gives me hope that there's hope for me. Because when we read the story and we tell it to kids and we think, you know, Jonah was running and we always have to obey God, I have personally run and turned the other direction. And, you know, as we look at the facts behind it, it says in Jonah 1:1-2, it says, "The Lord gave this message to Jonah." He picked Jonah out of all of Israel. He knew Jonah was turning the other way. He knew exactly what would happen. But he said, "I want to send you to the great city of Nineveh," even though because they're in great sin, and he was going to destroy them. Right? We know all of this, but why did he give the message to Jonah? Many times when the Lord has us speak a message to someone, it's a message I've missed myself. And there are some underlying motives and issues in my heart that the Lord, along the path of me getting to a place of obedience, he wants to do a great work in me. So the message for others isn't always just for them. I know when the Lord sent Kevin and I to Egypt, the one thing when we got there, you know, when we first headed that way, we think, oh, we're going to do great things for God, and we're just going to transform Egypt out of the great work that we get to do for the Lord. Out of all the years we were there and all the countries we lived in and got to be in, I don't know how much I changed Egypt, but I know it absolutely changed me and the work. But many of the things that I did, we laugh about it now. It was through messing up and making mistakes. And I've shared before, they gave me the nickname Petra because I was a female version of Peter, because they said, "You're always cutting off ears and Jesus has to come back, pick it up, and put it back on." Okay, that is very true. But I do learn. I only cut it off once, and then I go on. But isn't that true about us many times in our lives? We want to hail the good things. Do I do great things for the Lord? Absolutely, because of his power in me. But I love that in those times, he uses those things to teach us and to transform us. And we're all, like I said, very familiar with Jonah and the big fish. But the Lord reminded me years ago, I did jail ministry, And it was before we ever went to Egypt. And I went in, and it honestly was in a time of faith in my life that if God said do it, I mean, if he'd said jump out of the boat, Kathy, and walk across the water, I was just in that. I was young enough and crazy enough. I'm like, here I go. I'm going to be the first one. Whoever wants to follow me, come on, but I'm not missing God. And so I'm in this, and there's a level of security. We all had rules. You can go in. You can't go in. The door has to be open. You have to have a radio. You can't be by yourself, all these things. That day, I think I broke every single one of them, not intentionally, but I'd never been in that situation. It was the first time in the jail. As I'm talking to the ladies, it was the higher security, and I walked in, as I'm allowed to hand out Bibles and give them all their stuff, and I realized I'd walked into the middle of a fight, and one of the bigger girls was getting ready to destroy the younger, smaller girl. And I kind of stood in the middle, which wasn't real smart, but I did. And instead of calling immediately, I just stood there. And the Lord said, don't use your radio. I'm like, okay, but this is not going to go well for Kathy. And I obeyed the Lord. But as I began to talk to the lady, and I'm like, hey, you don't want to do this. She just said, they called me Chap. And she said, Chap, you either move out of my way or I'm going to go through you to get to her, but I'm getting to her. I'm like, okay, let me just talk to you for a minute. And I'm going, okay, God, what do you want to do here? And he said, I want you to ask her to go out into the hall with you. And she refused. And he said, tell her you want to tell her a story about Jonah and the big fat fish. And I said, I want to tell you a story about Jonah and the big fish. And the Lord said, no, no, that's, I want you to say exactly what I said. So I said, wait a minute. The Lord said, Jonah and the big fat fish. And this big, really mean, angry woman began to weep and just fell into my arms. And I stepped outside the door with her, again, which we're not allowed to do. And I just began, she said, why did you say that? And I said, the Lord said it to you. And the Lord just began to speak into her life. And a long story short, she ended up getting saved in that place. And she just began to weep and said, when I was a little girl, my grandma used to tell me a story about Jesus all the time. And then she would always tell me about Jonah and the big fat fish. Those were her words every single time. But it's what God used to get her attention. And I say all that because God called Nineveh to, he called Jonah to go to Nineveh. It took him a while to get him there. But when he called him to go, he didn't just say go. He said, I want you to say this. And many times in our act of obedience of, well, I did say yes. Okay, God, I did say yes to going to Henderson and we'll be pastor there. Or I did say yes to taking this new job. Or I did say yes to this. But we want to do it with our own mindset, our own motives, and our own plan. And if we will tune our hearts and our minds to the Lord, he will use us, not just for us, but to transform a nation, as he did Jonah. But in the process, it took him a while to get there. Because, you know, when I was talking to this lady, to be quite honest, when I said, yes, Lord, and I didn't use my radio when I did all this, I just thought my yes to the Lord would immediately bring this beautiful story of everything coming together. It really didn't. It took a good bit between me saying yes and standing between them and this woman going, you will get out of my way or I will destroy you to get to her. And I'm thinking, Lord, sometimes our yes to the Lord and our walk of obedience and transformation isn't always pretty. Sometimes it's a little rough. Sometimes it's in a storm. Sometimes it gets a little messy. It did turn out to be a victory. But there was a process, and what I realized was he wasn't just doing a work in the young woman I was talking to. He led her to him. She found salvation that day. But he taught me something about a level of faith, because by the time the guards had been called by someone else and they got there, they threatened my life a few times. Like, don't ever do this again. And I'm like, hey, but God told me to. They weren't all believers, and they really didn't care what my God had said. It was like, again, never do this again. But he taught me a level of faith that, Kathy, if you'll listen to me, you can trust me in ways you can't do these things on your own. You don't make it up as you go. You don't go with the plan you think will work. You listen to me, Because someone in that place, someone in your workplace needs to hear what the Lord is telling you to do, to say, how you live. There are people watching and listening. If your life, where you live, where you work, where you worship is in four short chapters, what are they learning from you? What are they learning from me? Because the truth is how I react, how I respond, and how I obey. Because see, one of the reasons that Jonah did not go, he started with a, Lord, I'm not going to do it. And those weren't his exact words. It says he turned and went the other way. You know, it's easy for us to go, we always obey the Lord. But you see, Nineveh was one of the greatest cruel enemies to the Israelites. So what Jonah was really saying is, God, I believe you. And we know that by how he described his God through the whole story, through every chapter. This is who I serve. I'm a Hebrew, and I serve the God that does this and this and this. He believed. But he also knew who his enemy was in the flesh. And he said, Lord, I'm not going, not to Nineveh. I'll go anywhere but Nineveh. I'll go to anyone but them. So, Lord, yes to you, but no to them. And there's no place in our life for us to say yes partially to the Lord. But many times we put conditions. You know, as Kevin and I were going to the mission field years ago, as we were going to the churches and preaching, many of these people knew us, had known us for years, and it was our friends. But as we shared where we were going, it was after 9/11, and we were going to the Arab world during the revolution, which really is not very smart unless God told you to go. But many of our really dear friends who loved us very much and were concerned for us said things like, why are you going there? Why are you going to them? I'm like, what would you have us do? I don't know, do anything else. Say yes to God, but tell him you'll go somewhere else. Why? Because they are our enemy and they don't deserve grace. I just want to ask you, is there a Nineveh in your life? Is there a place that you go, okay, God, you got my yes, but not there? I remember when a friend invited me years ago to do jail ministry. I'm like, you know what? Not there. I mean, I'm in the church. We're pastors. That's enough, right? And she said, well, just come and be my guest. And I'm like, I'll go in with you that day. That's enough. The second I stepped my feet in that door, I'm like, the Lord began to whisper, this is where you belong. And I'm like, I do not think so. It was crazy all around me, chaos everywhere. Doors were locking behind me, and I thought, no, no. And I'm telling you, it was some of the greatest transforming times in my life. I watched the Lord do miracle after miracle. Why? Because that's where he said for me. Does that mean everybody goes to do jail ministry? No. But we all have a place that we've said, God, I'll obey you anywhere but there. Or maybe it's a person. Maybe it's I'll share the gospel with anyone but them. God, you don't know how they've hurt me. I mean, I know you know, but I mean, really, have you forgotten? Maybe it's someone he's asking you to forgive. And forgiveness doesn't always mean they come back into my life, but many times I've watched people who've been wounded and hurt. And you know, the Lord taught me years ago, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. And what I mean by that, whether or not I choose to remain in that pain and not forgive someone, as someone who was abused as a child for many years, I don't say those things lightly. I have forgiven those who abused me. They are not a part of my life, nor will they ever be. But my heart is free, and I release them into the hands of God and have asked him to hold nothing against them on my account. God, you are a God of justice and mercy, and you do unto them as you would do. But I don't need you to make it look a certain way. And many times we hold on to that pain so much that it hinders us because we're not free.
So when we put conditions on God and we say only this way or never, I don't know if you've ever said it, but when I hear someone say, I will never do that, my first thought is never say never, because what do they say? Because you'll be never, ever in like you've never, ever before, because that's the very thing God's probably going to use. When the Lord called us to the mission field, a friend of mine, I told her first before I ever talked to Kevin about it, because I didn't know he was already dealing with Kevin about it. But she and I were talking. She's already a worker on the field, and she ministers to Muslims. And she said, where do you feel called to? I said, anywhere but to the Muslims. My exact words. She said, well, why would you say that? I said, well, one, I don't know one. I've never met one personally, and I'm quite sure God knows that I'm probably a little scared of him, and that's the one place he wouldn't send me because he knows me and loves me too much to do that to me. That's pretty much how that conversation went. And she just cracked up laughing. She's like, you and I both know where you're going. I'm like, girl, just shut up. I'm not talking to you anymore because he loves me too much to do that. Why? Because in my mind, I could not comprehend being sent to a place that made no sense to me or to do a thing that my heart really wasn't open to at the time. I will tell you, it's exactly where he sent us. And it was one of the most incredible adventures I ever had in my life. One of the hardest things I've ever done. Absolutely. But I love the grace of God, who knows what we need and knows when he needs to push us. And when we just need to say, God, I trust you, and I'll go as you where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do. It's easy to sing that. It's easy to pray that. But boy, when he knocks on my door and says, Kathy, I want you to do it, it's like, okay, can we pray about this a little longer? I talked to someone this week that feels called to the mission field. She's like, I'm just not sure now is the time. I said, when do you think? Maybe, I don't know, 5 years from now? Okay, how long have you felt this? I don't know, 20 years? Okay, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, I'm not your Holy Spirit, but I'm guessing it probably is the Lord, and he's saying, what you waiting on, girl? I'm just saying. But we have a tendency to do that. But it tells us on down that, I love that it says, but the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm. Because many times we think, oh, the storm just came. The Lord caused the storm to come. But during all this, on down it says, but all this time Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. He wasn't sound asleep because he was at peace. He was sound asleep because he was running and hiding. And many times we can hide from the things of God. And can I just say to you, you can hide right in the middle of a congregation and not be completely obedient to the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be sitting in a room where I know the Lord is there, but I'm hiding off in a corner because I know he's near me. I know he's my protector. I know he's a big God, but I don't really want to surrender everything. Because a lot of times when we say yes, we hold something behind our back, and the Lord says, it's all in. It's all in. Many times as the Lord's speaking to us, and we know it's him, and the Lord begins to press us in a certain direction, and he's confirming it time and time again, just like the young lady that I talked to, we have to turn our not yets, our nevers, into a now, because I believe that we are closer to seeing the kingdom of God come than we have ever been. And that's true because we're closer than we were yesterday. None of us know the time or the place or the hour, but we do know he has promised to come. But when we say no, it invites chaos, it invites a storm. But one thing it also does, it doesn't just impact us. As we look down, The men began to say, in verse 7, the crew cast lots to see who had offended the gods. Why has this awful storm come down on us? It impacts those around us too. When I'm not walking in complete obedience, the ones that are around me in my household, in my workplace, and all, they may not know why. They may not even know it's me. But it impacts all of us. And I love that they say, why has this happened to us? Because when we say no, it brings forth chaos. But when we say yes to the Lord, it brings forth fruit. It brings forth a fruit of a harvest that is ahead. As the Lord sent the storm, he used it. When they got on board, it talked about cry out to your gods. These were not believers on the ship with Jonah. But as the storm went on, as the Lord was continuing to draw Jonah to himself, the men who were unbelievers began to cry out, it said, to the Lord, who was Jonah's God. But they went in a verse from Jonah's God down to, oh Lord, have mercy on us, basically. And it said, when they threw Jonah into the water, that the men were awestruck by the power of God, and they believed in the Lord God Almighty. When we turn and we say yes to the Lord, and I do it without manipulation and I do it without conditions, God, I'll go if. Or God, I'll go tell these people if you'll just send Judy to go tell those people. I mean, I want them to know, God, but I mean, you know, just not me. When I take all the conditions off, it won't just impact for the negative. It will impact with the gospel for the positive. The harvest will come in, and he'll use you to do it. Jonah 3:5 says, the people of Nineveh believed God's message from the greatest to the least. When Jonah went and he finally spoke the word of God to them, said, from the greatest to the least, they believed. Now, the truth is, Jonah said yes, but he was really kind of in his heart hoping that the Lord would change his mind, because he goes into Nineveh, and then it says he comes out and he sits over on a hill to watch and see what's going to happen. Because sometimes my motive is, Lord, this is what I want you to bring to them. This is what I don't want you to give to them. But the grace of the Lord said, one, Jonah, you go and you believe and you trust me. And even when it looks like chaos, even when the storms come, even when your disobedience puts you in the belly of a big fish, I love that when he was in the belly of the big fish, it says, the Lord sent the fish. But inside there, after 3 days, it says, Jonah said, I cried out in verse 2, in chapter 2, verse 2, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. And then on down in verse 4, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more towards your holy temple. When I'm not obedient completely, it separates me from the presence of the Lord. But down in verse 7, it says, as my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all of my vows, all in. For my salvation comes from the Lord alone. That's the place where Jonah just surrenders. As individuals, as a church, we have to surrender absolutely everything to the Lord. And I love in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. I love that he's a God that gives us second chances. And for me, sometimes three. And that he said, okay, Kathy, we've drawn a line. Don't cross it again. You're listening to, it's time you do it now. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message that I have given you. Sometimes our motives, and I've done this. Okay, Lord, I'll share. I'll go talk to them. But in that, my motives get in the way and my heart begins to say things from the Lord that I think they need to know. The Lord says, you say what I say. You don't add to it and you don't take away. He knows exactly what's happening in the hearts and minds of those he sent you to. And I love in verse 3, it said, this time Jonah obeyed the Lord. I don't know where you are in your life, but if you haven't come to the this time yet, I will tell you, we are in the this time season. It is time to surrender it, to give up the motives, to give it up. Because many times we can be held back out of fear. The Lord reminded me of Joshua 1:9. It says, "This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Where's the place you're hoping God doesn't send you? Many people used to say, "I'm glad he called you because I could never do that." Like, well, please don't say that out loud because you're going to be going soon. Don't put conditions on your obedience to the Lord. Not with places, not with people, and sometimes it's with things. Are there things in your life that have held you up? Sometimes for people it's fear that holds us in a place that says, "I'm not ready yet. I can't do that." And the Lord says, "I know you can't, but I can." What will you believe him for you? Sometimes it's grief. We've had such a loss or such a disappointment or such a betrayal that grief will hold us in a place that will keep us from trusting. I used to say things like, "Oh God, I trust you, but I don't trust them." That's not trust. It's conditions. And when we walk in trust and obedience with the Lord, it has to be hands open. "God, I trust you that if you say to do it and it looks like step out of the boat, walk on water, or don't call on that radio, or go to Egypt," whatever it is. Everything in our lives screamed, "Don't get on that plane and go to Egypt." My dad had been diagnosed with cancer, and they said, "You'll never see him again." All three of our kids had gone through major life-transforming events that honestly, if ever they needed their parents, it was then. And I knew we were getting on a plane and we would not be there for them. It was in the beginning of it, not, "Oh, they've been through it and they're settled." As a parent, you kind of need to know where your kids are going to land and that they're going to be okay. And the Lord said, "Now." I said, "Right now, get on the plane." And we did. And I will tell you, it was one of the hardest things I ever did, but it was the hand of God in every step along the way. Every step along the way, the Lord brought us to a place of growth, fruit, and understanding. And as the people cried out earlier, we talked about they cried out, "Lord, why has this happened to us? Why us?" Many times when things keep coming, sometimes as a church, I'm thinking, "Okay, Lord, we've got this, we've got this. This one's down, this one's out, this one's been hit." And it used to cause me to step back and go, "Why us?" You know what it says to me now? "You're on the right path, Kathy. Keep going. You're headed in the right direction. You're doing the work of God, and the enemy knows that, and he needs to shut you all down. But you will go through. You will see breakthrough, and you will prevail. Why? Because I'm your shepherd, and you are my flock. And we will prevail." We know sometimes what we're running from, but why do we run? Why do we tend to run? Sometimes it's when we don't like how the Lord's doing something, because I kind of had my plan of how it was supposed to look, or it just doesn't make sense to me. Or have you ever watched somebody lead something and think, "I'd have done that different"? I do it all the time. I know y'all probably don't. I'm quite guilty of that. I'm like, "Oh, I would have done it different." But okay, whatever, you know. Because we tend to have our own plans and our own ways. But I love that the Lord's purpose always prevails. And sometimes it's that something or someone temporarily becomes far more important or a distraction than the things of God. Sometimes it's that promotion or that new boat or all those new friends and that new fun activity. And I mean, we're going camping every weekend and we're doing all these things. And I mean, there's just so many good things happening in my life. Lord knows I love him, and I take him with him everywhere I go. I remember walking down the streets of Egypt one day, and I was missing my kids and my grandkids, and I remember thinking, Lord, I don't think I can do this. My kids need me. My dad needs me. My mom needs me. I have lost siblings. I need to go home, Lord. I'll work for you there. I made promise to the Lord. Lord, if you let me go home, I'll do this. I'll do this. I had a long list of promises. And I remember the Lord whispering to me saying, Kathy, those are blessings that I've given you. My first grandbaby was about to be born, and I knew I wouldn't be there. And the Lord said, don't ever let the things I bless you with become the thing that causes you to not obey me. And I thought, okay, I trust you, Lord. Were there a lot of tears and a lot of sleepless nights? There were. But I knew I wanted the blessings of the Lord, but I didn't want that more than I wanted the Lord himself. Never let the good things that the Lord has poured out upon you distract you from him, because he is greater than the things he puts in our hands. Jonah told us in chapter 4, verse 2, this is why he ran. Said, didn't I say to you, Lord, before I left home, that you would do this? I told you you're going to do this, Lord. I told you I was going to go do this, and they were going to turn around, and they were going to repent, and you were going to do this. I told you, Lord. And he says, that is why I ran away. I knew that you were merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You're eager to turn back from destroying people. Like, that's a bad thing. Have you ever been in that place where you just think, you know what, they just don't deserve it, Lord? And then he goes into the, just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive. I know y'all have never been that dramatic, but I have to confess, there have been a few times I have, just being real. Sometimes we think if we don't get our way, and the Lord just began to remind me, as a body, one of the things that will keep that dome of protection from covering us more than anything is the spirit of offense and a lack of unity. To have unity in the body is like an immunity from the enemy. He has no authority in this house unless we swing a door wide open and give it to him. And the Lord just asked me today, Kathy, I need you to walk around and figure out what doors are open. I need you to listen to me, and I need you to close them. In the spirit. Unforgiveness, spirit of offense, and this offense in the church, we never call that. And we've talked about this for months now. If I don't get my way, I tend to murmur and complain. I know y'all probably don't do this, none of y'all. So I'll just use me as an example. But the murmuring and the complaining, and yeah, I'm not going to tell everybody, but just because Christy's my good friend, I'm only going to tell you, okay, girl, this is confidential. Let's not tell anybody else. That's called murmuring and complaining, and it takes away unity, and it will keep that dome of protection from a complete covering over us. And in this season, we cannot have that. The Lord has over and over said, pray that dome of protection. That is our prayer. He can cover us with a dome, and I can step out from under it, and I can swing a door wide open that gives the enemy authority in a place where he has no authority unless I give it to him. Because, see, on the cross, Jesus, he didn't tell us that Satan, that he lost his power. He said he lost his authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to us to walk. But I have to walk in the ways of the Lord. And when he says, walk this way, Kathy, I can't do it with my impure motives. I can't do it with I can be the best intercessor that there is. I can be the best musician. I can be the best preacher. I can be any of those things in the house of God. But when y'all aren't watching me if I'm telling Judy all these things that are bothering me, just, you know, in the spirit of prayer, girl, just be praying. I just wanted you to know. The Lord considers that gossip. And I'm not saying it's happening. I'm saying He's telling us, don't open any doors. Don't open any doors. Because this is a season I need all eyes on me. That you need to hear my voice. It says, my sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me. We have to be so in tune with Him that we're not afraid to follow Him for one. That I'm not going with an impure motive. Because, you know, as I was preparing this message today, I thought, man, this is good. This is good. I'm going to write it and I'm right. I have to confess a couple of times I had to stop and get on my face and repent of a couple of things that I probably would have thrown in here a little extra because I thought somebody might need to know. Now, I'm not saying you did. I just might have been convicted of that. And the Lord said, that's Kathy's words. I need you to just take those off. Because, see, when He took Jonah through this process, it said Jonah went off to the side. In chapter 4, it tells us, and he sat on a hill. And it said the Lord provided a leaf to cover him in the shade, right? And it says specifically, and Jonah was so grateful. He had a grateful heart. I mean, that's what we all have, grateful hearts, right? But what he was really doing, he was still angry with God. The scripture makes it very clear. He's still pretty ticked at God. He just said, now I told you what you're going to do. I can't believe you're going to do it. Now that's Kathy's loose interpretation, but that's pretty much exactly what it says he's saying to God. And then it says, just like the fish came along, it said, and the Lord sent a worm. Just a little worm. Didn't have to be a big fat fish this time. Just a little worm to eat that leaf that he was so grateful for. But the whole time he was grateful, like good followers of Jesus do, he was murmuring and complaining, ticked off at God and mad at those people who were cruel. He had a reason to be angry. They were known as the cruelest, I mean, abusive type of people towards the Israelites. He had a reason, but he wouldn't let it go. So the Lord sent a worm. And again, Jonah ends up in the place where he's like, just let me die. This heat's too much for me, God. I can't take this. And the Lord said, do you have a right to be angry about that, Jonah? And he began to reveal to Jonah in that place, this has nothing to do with Nineveh. And it has nothing to do with a worm or a leaf or a fish. But Jonah, in your heart, you say you believe in me, you trust me, but you lack compassion. You've let your heart and your offenses block you from loving like I love and having compassion, because the heart of the God you say you serve is a heart of compassion and wants to see all people saved, all people to come to know Jesus. And the Lord just said, Kathy, there's a couple of places that I don't really want to have to send a worm. How about we just look at them today? They're not big. They're not real big. But you know, that's the thing, those little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. So even though it's just teeny tiny, and I mean, compared to what Karen's got going on, it's probably not that big of a deal, right? Karen doesn't have anything going on. I just made that up. But we do that, don't we? Now, we don't say it out loud to ourselves, but we have to be on guard. Guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. To take captive every single thought that exalts itself, anything that comes against who my God says He is, to you and to me, but through me. I have to take it captive. I have to check my motives. I have to see, are there little things that I'm saying I'm grateful, but all along I'm murmuring and complaining, or I'm just stepping back, sitting on the side. I'm just going to see what happens to them because I told them I'd do it differently. We don't openly do that, but the Lord just said, Kathy, line it all up. Because I fully believe with everything in me, the winds of the Spirit are blowing. And He has a purpose and a plan for Henderson First Assembly of God, for you, for me. Not just in this building, but for when you leave, when you go into your homes, when you go to your families, when you're with your friends who don't know Him yet. How do they see me respond? How do they see me love? How do they see me forgive? You know, I have some unsaved family members that have watched me fight sickness the whole time I've laid hands on them and anointed them with oil to be healed in the name of Jesus. And I've kind of watched their questions like, well, wait a minute, if you can't heal yourself, but it's opened some incredible conversations of who my God really is. And I don't have to bow to what this flesh says, because I have the promises of the Word of God, and He is who He says He is, and He will do what He says He will do. And I don't care what the storms around you, how hard they blow, how high the waves get, or how big the chaos is. He wins. You win. And the absolute only way we face defeat is if we quit. And you know, I have a friend who said, you know, you're just, you believe all that because you're charismatic, because you're Pentecostal. No, I believe it because that's what the Word of God says. And I won't shrink back from it because the world says it's not so. I will say yes. I will not run from the things of God. I want to be one who runs to. I want Henderson First Assembly be one who says, Lord, your ways are higher than mine. I will lay my motives down. So I just want to ask you, does the Lord have a place in your heart He needs to send a worm to eat the leaf that sits and makes you comfortable in the place where you're at? I'm sure it's just me. But I love that He loves me enough that He won't let me hide in the shade of my own comfort, of my own motives, of my own ways of thinking. And when I don't get my way, or I don't get things to look in the timing that I think, I love that the mercy of God brings me to a place of surrender, just like Jonah surrendered. I believe when the Lord spoke to him and said, It's compassion. The very last verse, it says, then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? There are people all around us. We live in a city. We live in a community that the Lord longs to see be drawn unto Him, to be delivered from the spirit of darkness. And with everything in me, I believe He has sent us to be planted right here, right smack in the middle of it, to be a light in this community. I think we're doing a great job, which is why I honestly think we are facing so many spiritual attacks. And we will keep pressing in. We will keep pressing on. But in that, you know, when we went to the mission field, the one thing we tell, and I told this young lady the other day, if there is a crack in anything in your life, the minute you step your foot on the ground of where the Lord has called you to go, it'll blow that crack wide open. It'll expose everything negative, and it'll make it 10 times bigger than you ever thought it was. So deal with it now. I just believe that's where we are as a church. If you've got a teeny tiny fracture, a crack at all, and maybe there's nothing, I want to be one that comes before the Lord and says, search my heart, oh God, see if there be any wicked way in me, because I want to belong to you. I want nothing hidden or nothing open that separates me from you, because it said it separated Jonah from God. God, I want you. I don't just want a good sermon. I don't want just to people to think, oh, well, she's good at this or she's not. I just want you, God. Because when I'm with you, I'll obey you. And I will see the harvest come in for God. And I know that's what you long for as well. I did tell Scott earlier to wave me off back here because I don't have a clock. Lucky the Lord just reminded me, I do have a clock over here, I should check. So we're going to close tonight with one last scripture. Deuteronomy 5:32 says, be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You are not to turn aside to the right or to the left. True surrender is complete surrender. Your way, God. Every bit of it. So I'm going to close us in prayer, but I want you to be praying in the days ahead for that dome of protection for us as individuals, for us as a church, for us to walk in complete obedience, in complete unity, for the power of our words for us to recognize there is life and death in the power of the tongue, and my tongue has to be bridled for the glory of God. And that we walk in complete surrender because His plan is always good and right. Father, we thank You. I thank You, God, that You continue to teach us and draw us. That, God, when we run and go the other direction, or when we try to, Lord, set to the side and watch and wait for our way to come about, that, Lord, You're merciful and You bring us to a place of complete surrender for Your glory. So, God, we pray for this over us, Your people, God, for that dome of protection, God, for any doors in the name of Jesus. Lord, any door that is open, that is not, Lord, for anything but Your glory, God, we just close it in the name of Jesus. Father, that no weapon formed against us would prosper and everything that rises up against us would fall. Lord, I pray we would walk in obedience and unity, that we would recognize the power of our words, God, not just to not say the wrong thing, but God, to pray in the way You've taught us to pray, to walk in the authority You've given us as children of the living God. Lord, that we wouldn't settle for what we've been taught by man, but God, we would be taught by You, Holy Spirit, and we would walk in the full authority, knowing our identity in Christ. So God, we surrender and we give You glory in all things. I thank You for this. In Your glorious name we pray, Jesus. Amen.